Half and Whitey. This is RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
Oh, obviously, when you can get a free agent in the door, it's great for the footy club. It shows that we're now a club that, you know, is attracting some free agents, and you know, now we just look forward to getting him in and you know, working with him for the next 4 or 5 years. Well, I think if you saw our final against Richmond, we kind of got belted up in the midfield. So to be able to get a bloke who is, you know, a big-bodied midfielder that can do a bit of everything, it's only going to help us get better. And, you know, he's a BNF winner in Adelaide. He's played in the grand final, so he knows what it's like to play in big games as well.
That's the voice of Jared Ruffhead these days working for St Kilda. Ooh, hard to say that. Talking about Brad Crouch, who has chosen the Saints as his destination. He would like to be playing for in the next 5 years, they tell me the deal looks like, at the Saints, which is interesting in itself. Let's get to Glenn McFarlane from the Herald Sun. He knows more about this stuff than I do. That was on Fox Footy last night, AFL 360. Macca, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Harp and Whitey. How are you travelling, boys?
Going very well, thank you, buddy. Nice to have you with us. Now, it's a free agent situation, as Jared Ruffhead was talking about there. What's the level of compensation coming back the Crows' way, do you think, on the back of a 5-year deal, if in fact it goes that way, if Adelaide don't match?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the feeling is at the moment that Adelaide will match, and that's going to be a situation. We know with these free agency compensation deals that there's a little bit of herbs and spices that the AFL put in. I'm not sure Russell Crowe sometimes in a beautiful mind would really understand some of the deals that the AFL actually do. So based on the new contract that the free agent has been offered by that club, but also the age of the free agent. And at 26, Brad Crouch is in the prime of his career, so the Crows want maximum compensation, and that means we could be heading to a game of brinksmanship. It might actually be a trade that has to be done rather than that situation. Initially, we thought that the Brad Crouch deal might be around the $700,000, which might give the Crows compensation picks straight after their first pick in the draft.
Yep.
As we understand it now, he's going to get a little bit less than that, so that means that it may be that it's an end-of-first-round pick for the Adelaide Crows, and I don't think they'd be happy with that. So I think there's every chance that they could match that that situation with the Saints, which means we might have to have a trade between the two clubs.
Is there provision, Macca? Now, I don't know if you know the answer to this or not, but I want to ask it. Is there provision in that secret herbs and spices beautiful mind recipe that the status of the team losing the player comes into calculation? Like Adelaide have clearly a long way off being a contending team and need a lot of help, it's seemingly at the moment, with their playing stocks, that the AFL would say, well, it's part of the recipe which we never actually show you anyway. We think it's worthwhile, that deal, and we think it is a straight after your first pick situation, so they end up with pick two or three, whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure that it's actually written into the free agency compensation, the one that we can never see, the explanation for it as well. It is actually decided upon by an expert panel who then report back to the footy general manager operations, which is Stephen Hocking. I'm sure that the clubs that are struggling get a better hearing in regard to that. I still think there's every chance that they won't get that pick two, as it would be before we get into the situation with the draft. So I think it comes to a situation that there will have to be probably a trade in this sense.
And this is the frustration with it all, I reckon, for footy fans is as well, is that there is no transparency as such around what the pick is, but also the inconsistency that if Brad Crouch is lost as a free agent, Adelaide gets pick two, but if Adelaide was seventh or eighth, then it would be pick 10 or pick 11. I mean, shouldn't it just be straight down the line? He's worth pick 10, so he's pick 10, not based on where they finish on the ladder. I don't know.
Yeah,
it'd be good to have some sort of consistency attached to it.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. It's a dog's breakfast, the free agency compensation situation. The clubs are frustrated by it as well. And we're going to see a similar situation with Jeremy Cameron and Geelong. There's no doubt that the Giants will absolutely match that offer from Geelong, which means, again, the game of brinksmanship starts, which is good for us in the media and getting through, you know, trade week. Either one of these deals could push all the other trades back in that last week. So it's going to be fascinating to see what actually happens. But wouldn't it be nice if they just come out with the secret herbs and spices, guys? But then again, the Colonel didn't do it, so why would the AFL?
No, exactly right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, and Essendon's in a similar position as well with Joe Danaher. They still don't know whether they would get a first-round compensation pick at the end of the first round or after their first pick. And the other issue, not just with Essendon, with other clubs as well, is that if you bring in a free agent, you don't then get the compensation for losing a free agent. So you then have to trade players in as opposed to get free agents in. So there's a lot of... That's why a lot of the time it takes a long time to get these things done, because there has to be an order of events to avoid potentially losing the compensation you think you're going to get. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yeah, it balances out.
It does.
It's income and expenditure, like an accounting ledger, and what comes in and what's worth and what goes out and what that's worth, and then the difference is what you end up with. I must admit, I disagree with the compensation formula that you were talking about, that consistent one you're after, because I think a good player to a poor team is worth much more than a good player in a good team in terms of the overall output of that player. So I think they should be compensated as such if there is going to be a compensation system.
That's fair, but at the same point, I have a philosophical issue that Lance Franklin would go to Sydney for pick 18 or 19 in the draft compared to, and even in a Jeremy Cameron situation, he's worth more than what Brad Crouch is worth. He's worth two first-round picks. Brad Crouch isn't.
Yeah, but you can make that call and trade for that. That's your call. Yeah, but from a free agency perspective, Buddy was he's a champion player and an all-time great, but Hawthorn were a champion team, so his loss isn't going to be felt as much as it was if it was the team at the bottom of the ladder at the time. So I'm okay with the formula as it sits.
No, you've argued that well. I've almost changed my mind.
So Brad Crouch looks like he's going to the Saints on a five-year deal, which is quite long these days, Macca, and considering the current state of the football economy, that's interesting. But he's not the only crow on the move, it seems.
No, exactly. Well, there's quite a few crows who could be on the move, but Kyle Hartigan going to Hawthorn has expressed an interest in, well, more than expressed an interest. He's nominated Hawthorn as the club that he would like to go to. What I found fascinating about the Crows media release yesterday announcing this was that the Crows media release wished Kyle and his family all the best for the future and the like. Brad Crouch didn't get that same message, so I know that Kyle's returning to Victoria in that sense, but there was no wishing your family all the best to Brad in that situation. So I thought that was quite interesting. But the Hawks have been the sleeper so far in a lot of these discussions, haven't they? But they need a backman to sort of help out their stocks there. So Hartigan will go there. So the Crows are making a few changes and a few teams actually trying to raid the Crows, which is interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. They really can't afford unless they're getting something on the way back through. And you mentioned. We spoke about Brad Crouch, of course, which will have some effect, you think, on the Saints' chase for Jai Caldwell from the Giants, whether or not he can get there now that they've got Crouch seemingly in their sights?
Yeah, absolutely. That could be a big change there. And we did say that in the Herald Sun on Tuesday, that once Jeremy Cameron selected Geelong, it meant that Brad Crouch was more than likely to be elsewhere, and certainly St Kilda. But Jai Caldwell was very keen on St Kilda, and there are a couple of clubs who have been certainly keen on Jai. The two clubs most interested were St Kilda and Essendon, but given the fact that Crouch has now chosen St Kilda, I just think from an opportunity perspective that the Bombers now loom large for Caldwell. So I think that makes a lot of sense. If he gets to the Bombers, we keep hearing players losing, the Bombers losing players, it'd be good to see them get come back in the other way.
Well, of course, Glenn, Essendon has a war chest of around about $2 million and about three first-round picks. So I want to throw this one at you a little bit from left field, because Dom's text in. He's a big North Melbourne man, and he's worried about his club. And, there's obviously been a lot of negativity and negative talk around the Kangaroos. Is that going to have an issue on their search for a coach and potentially for players to come to the football club with everything that's gone around? Or do you think that doesn't come into play?
I think it has to come into a play to a degree, guys. From a coach perspective, we know that we've heard Michael Voss speak, and we're all wishing Reshaw all the best and hope that he gets back. But at this stage, the Kangaroos are looking around for a coach. They've got no choice but to do that at this stage. And Michael Voss has certainly said that there was a touch of interest there from Michael Voss, and it is a difficult deal. You'd have to get a long-term deal there if you were a coach. But as far as the players coming there, that is a concern. We know that Aiden Poore had expressed an interest to go to North Melbourne several weeks ago. We understand that hasn't changed. You want to hear a little bit more on that as well. We understand it hasn't changed, but until it has actually done and dusted, you're never sure. But it is a concern for North, and I would be concerned if I was, basically a player going to North. But they're going to hopefully they do the right thing And, you know, fingers crossed everything works out okay with the Kangas.
Right, for the Kangas, see what happens there. They're going to need some players because they've lost a lot already just at the moment.
Wow.
And just on the Jesse Hogan situation, Macca, has he got suitors?
A couple. They're light suitors at the moment, Huff. There's no massive interest at the moment. We know that, and what the chairman said on the weekend, that we know that his situation at the Dockers is pretty tenuous at the moment. He's got a contract for another year, as we know, but that quarantine restriction breach didn't really make him very young. So I think they were pretty disappointed, the Dockers, with that. They put so much time and effort into it. The Swans are a club that are potentially have made a little bit of interest in terms of Jesse. I think a few Victorian teams are sort of sitting on the fence at the moment, but we'll wait and see. He's got a contract. The Swans missed out on Joe Danaher. Would that be a good replacement, in a sense, to try and get Jesse Hogan into Sydney?
I reckon Jesse Hogan will become one of the big talking points of the trade period, because whoever misses out on Ben Brown will then start to channel their energies on to him, because there's so few key forwards that are available. There's so few key forwards, full stop, that I can't have it that clubs won't really be tempted by Jesse Hogan for the ones that want Ben Brown.
I was thinking about this yesterday, Wally. You talk about so few key forwards. There's four on the market. Hogan, Cameron, Danaher, Brown. Like, it's unprecedented that they were the real cornerstones and pillars of your team that would never be moved or never want to move. And all of a sudden there's four and genuine match winners in their best on the market. Hogan, Cameron, Danaher and Brown. It's quite a remarkable scenario. Whether or not it's a reflection of modern day footy and the way the game is played, or it's just a moment in time, I'm not sure. But I was thinking about that yesterday, that four of the bigger names in footy, and certainly from a key forward perspective, are looking to change clubs or get on the move.
Yeah, no, it's a good call. It's a good call about that whole thing about how they play and all that sort of thing. But two of them have already chosen their clubs.
Yep.
So, you know, I reckon there's about six clubs that desperately want a key forward, but there's only two available. So, yeah, I reckon Jesse Hogan will definitely get interest. He'd have to.
Macca, I want you to sniff around for us on that. Next time we have a chat, I want a full briefing, if you don't mind. We appreciate your time as always, buddy. Have a great weekend. Who wins a Cox Plate?
Oh, Cox Plate. Rushing Samlot, Arcadia Queen. I'm torn half. I'm going to make a decision very, very soon.
he's got time, though. He's got time. I'm okay with that. We're going to work out where the track's going to be. I'm okay with a little sit on the
barrier.
Fence.
I'm worried about the barrier.
I'm okay with that. Well, just text us tomorrow morning, would you?
I'll do that for sure. Thanks, guys.